भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 26. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Iti, Yaha, Abhittaha, Trivarga, Iksha, Irayi, Naya, Damo, Vivida, Cha, Varta, Manye, Tat, Itat, Akilam, Nigamasya, Satyam, Atma Arpanam, Svasurda, Paramasya, Pumsaha. Dharmartha kama iti yo bihitas trivarga. Iksha trayi nayadamo vivida cha varta. Manye tad etar akilam nigamasya satyam. Svatmarpanam svasurada paramasya pumsa. Dharmartha kama iti yo bihitas trivarga. Iksha trayi nayadamo vivida cha varta. Manye tad etar akilam nigamasya satyam. Svatmarpanam svasurada paramasya pumsa. Dharmartha kama iti yo bihitas trivarga. Iksha trayi nayadamo vivida cha varta. Manye tad etad akilam nigamasya satyam. Svatmarpanam sasurada paramasya pumsa.
Please chant. Ladies, please. Dharma, religion. Artha, economic development. Kamma, regulated sense gratification. Iti, thus. Yaha, which. Abhihita, prescribed. Privarga, the group of three. Iksha, self-realization. Irayi, the Vedic, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Naya, logic. Damo, and the science of law and order. Vivida, varieties of. Cha, also. Varta, occupational duties or one's livelihood. Manye, I consider. Tat, them. Etat, these. Akilam, all. Nigamasya, of the Vedas. Satyam, truth. Svaatma arpanam, the full surrendering of oneself. Sva surada, unto the supreme friend. Paramasya, the ultimate. Pumsa, personality. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification. These are described in the Vedas as Trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. So before going further, for those of you who may be coming in late on this, this is Prahlad Maharaj talking to his playmates. And they're not doing very much playing at this moment. They're listening to a very advanced, very exalted philosophy from Prahlad Maharaj. And he has captured and controlled their attention completely. This is not easy when you're dealing with children who just love to play and have fun and jump and rollick and scream and yell and do all those wonderful things that we all did as kids. But he, by his incredibly powerful potency, he's got their minds under control. They're listening to him, and he's affecting all of them. So this is very wonderful that when a pure devotee begins to speak, the effect that it can have even upon little children 5-6 years old. Amazing. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. These instructions of Prahlad Maharaj stress the transcendental position of devotional service, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mamchayo Vyabacharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, which means, quote, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One who fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord is immediately raised to the transcendental position, which is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, or the self-realized stage. Any education or activity not on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. And Prahlad Maharaj says that anything material cannot be the absolute truth, for the absolute truth is on the spiritual platform. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 2:45, where he says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjano, which means the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. To act on the material platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, to stay on the spiritual platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Parama Purusha, the Supreme Person. This is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:8. Dharma svanushtita pumsam visvakshena katasuya notpadayed yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam, which means duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the message of the Supreme Lord, unquote. If one very strictly performs the various duties of religion, but does not ultimately come to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord, his methods of attaining salvation or elevation are simply a waste of time and energy. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. This verse deals with the very factors which tend to tie us to this material world. Artha, kama, dharma, artha, kama, even moksha. It ties us to the material world in the following ways. We become attached to so many things that we do, whether it's in the realm of dharma, whether it's in the realm of artha or kama or even moksha. We may become very much attached to our morality or to our ethics or to our virtue, our truthfulness, our devotional service, attached in the sense that we think we're very wonderful, we're very great, we're very praiseworthy. When we become attached to these particular attributes or qualities that we have, and we begin to think that we are perhaps superior to others who do not have such qualities, the result is that one develops a certain amount of pride, or false pride, thinking he is bigger or better or greater or more wonderful, and he thinks or she thinks of herself as being very special as a result of this. Now that can be in the realm of dharma, which I just gave. It could be in the realm of artha, which is accumulation of wealth. A person may acquire a tremendous amount of money, and he thinks, again, he is very important, he's very powerful, he's very great, because he has so much money, and he can buy just about anything, anywhere, everywhere. So a person begins thinking, yes, I am very, very wonderful, I'm very powerful, so many people want to know me, so many people want to associate with me, because I have so much money. And he may consider himself, perhaps he's in the highest 3% of the population, 3% of the population of wealth, or 2%, or 4%. And he considers, yes, I'm in the 4%, and everybody else is much lower than me. So he gets into this, again, this idea of pride. And the wealth becomes a means for his furtherance of a false identity that he has. And this false identity is such that one thinks, yes, I am great, I am wonderful, I am powerful. This is what he thinks he is. And actually, it's a complete fiction. Because at any given moment, this so-called identity can be destroyed. You can die. Or you can be walking down the street and thinking, I am so happy, I have so much money, I have a beautiful girlfriend or a beautiful wife, and you're singing at the top of your lungs, zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay, you know, all these wonderful Walt Disney songs that we get when we're kids, and my, oh my, what a wonderful day, and slip right on the banana peel, and he comes plunging to the ground, to the concrete, and you're in the hospital for 4 to 5 months. Not a zippity-doo-da day at all. For anybody. So, therefore, we tend to think, because yesterday was fine, today seems to be okay, the day before yesterday was fine, and the day before then was fine, and last month was great, and the month before was great, well, it's going to go on forever. How else could it be? Because, after all, I have money, I have power, I have adoration, I have perfection in what I do. And yet, Krishna has another plan. And what we learn in this wonderful philosophy is that Krishna's plan is quite often different from our plan. His plan is to try to make us more virtuous, to make us more sensitive, more compassionate, more loving, more kind, more sweet, more gentle. More courageous, more determined, more persevering. His goal is to make us more like he is. So when we begin to think that we are him, that's when all the problems start. Originally, we were all Krishna-conscious living entities in the eternal world. And we were all serving and adoring and loving and glorifying Krishna. But at some point in eternity, we began to question and wonder out of curiosity, what does it taste like? What does it feel like to be a Lord? What does it feel like to be worshipped, to be honored, to be glorified, to be applauded, to always be celebrated? What's it feel like? What does it taste like? It's a curiosity. Even God has curiosity. God has curiosity? Yes, God has curiosity. He wants to know, what is it? What is Radharani, Srimati Radharani, what is she tasting when she looks at me? What is her bliss like? What is her love like for me, Krishna is thinking? What is my sweetness taste like to her? So he has curiosity too. So if Krishna has curiosity, we have curiosity. Whatever is in the Father is also in the Son, the daughter. So therefore, curiosity is a part of us, and we want to know, what does it feel like to be honored, to be adored, to be glorified? So this planet was made for that. If we no longer want to serve the Lord, we no longer want to adore the Lord, no longer want to glorify the Lord, but want to be glorified, want to be adored, want to be surrendered to, want to be bowed down to, want to be applauded, want to be praised. If we want these things, we can't live in the spiritual world, because that's for persons who want to honor and glorify and adore Krishna and want to serve. But if you want to be served, you want to be honored, you want to be glorified, well then you come here. And everybody gets a chance to be honored or glorified or get 15 minutes of fame or whatever. To be a Lord means basically three things, which divides itself into six things. Three things means you want as much sense pleasure as you can get, as you want. You want as much sense pleasure as you can stuff into your five senses. All the sense pleasure that you can get. Krishna gets sense pleasure. Well, I want sense pleasure. I want to be a Lord here. Or it means owning property. It means owning land, owning buildings, owning cars, boats and airplanes. The interesting thing about this is when you enter into this material world and you're surrounded with this darkness of ignorance, you're cut off from the eternal bliss, the eternal peace, the eternal strength, the eternal love. You're cut off from that. You don't feel that, but yet intuitively the soul knows that it's supposed to be joyful, supposed to be peaceful, supposed to be happy, and yet it's not feeling it. The only way it can feel some joy is to gain pleasure through the five senses. The only way it can feel some power or greatness is to have lots and lots of property. First I have 1 acre, but then I see so many people have 1 acre, they'll let me have 5 acres. Let me have 10, 100, 200, 1,000, 10,000. There's no end to greed. The more you have, the more you want. The more you want, the more you still want. There's no end to it, because what happens is that one continues to inflate the false ego with the idea that he is better and bigger and greater and grander and amazing. Because so many people are saying, he has so much property, he has so many cars. There's one person, I think he's Jay Leno, he has 18 cars or so. Am I right on the figure? Anybody know that? I haven't watched those shows for years. But he has about 18 different cars, different sports cars and all of these things. So that's his identity, that he's got so many cars. So, as I said, sense enjoyment, property, and also to be the friend of all. People want to be admired. They want to be looked up to, want to be applauded. This person wants my autograph. This person wants my picture. This person says hello to me. This person respects me. This person wants to shake my hand. This idea that I'm the friend of all, because God is the friend of all. So if I'm to play the part of God here on this in this world, then of course I have to get people to like me. Sometimes people at this time of the year, they go down to the downtown to the Skid Row section, and they give out $1 bills or $10 bills or $20 bills. Why? So that, you know, these different derelicts can come, oh, thank you, buddy, you're really like a sweet angel, thank you so much. So, oh, wow, they
All these people love me. And then they take that $20 bill and they go into the tavern and drink it all up. And it wasn't such a good deed after all, because they just get more and more stoned than they were the night before. So that's not considered a really, truly beneficial act. But the person who gave it feels that he's a lord. Everybody, and they write about him in the newspapers, and you see it on the television, man's giving out his dollar bills, and they say, yo, just look, this, they got me on TV, millions of people are looking at me, and thousands down in the Skid Row section, they all love me. So, this is not the motive of giving. So, all of these different means that I've been mentioning, I said that there are three, and those three, of course, divide themselves into six others. And that is that generally one often in the material world to feel like a lord or a goddess wants to be beautiful, wants people to admire his or her beauty. They get all kinds of different hairstyles and different, put them, make them this color, that color, primp it this way. You always sometimes you see sometimes the ladies when they pass the store windows always look this way and they kind of primp their hair. And kind of, so that's only natural because girls, when you're raised as a child, you're always taught by your mother, you got to look beautiful, you got to look pretty, because one day you're going to have to get married, and if you don't look pretty and you don't look neat and you don't look clean, nobody's going to want you. So therefore, it's only natural that you're always, you know, primping a little bit to try to look sweet and nice and beautiful. So beauty and wealth, which I have already mentioned. If you have wealth, people admire you. If you're poor, people disregard you or discard you. Beauty, wealth, strength or power, influence. You become a big politician or you become a very well-known orator. So influence is important. You need to get things in the world. Sometimes you have to wait on long lines for days and days and days. But if you have influence, you have, you know, a politician, you know, somebody who's in charge, you get right to the front of the line and you get what you want immediately. This is called influence. So, therefore, people want to get their influence. And, of course, then there's knowledge, false knowledge, material knowledge. Person gets one master's degree, then a Ph.D. degree. They get another Ph.D. degree. I know people who have four Ph.D. degrees and they're going for their fifth. What does it do one? It gives one the sense of this prestige. And it may even get you a few extra dollars if Krishna is kind to you. And if he's not, it's not going to do much good. But what happens is that the person has these degrees. And he has all these degrees in front of at the end of his name. And of course, it makes the person feel that he's has prestige. People look up to him. Doctor, you know, to be called a doctor is... makes the person feel important. So all these things, and then of course you have what we call false coolness or renunciation. False renunciation is, you know, a person acts like nothing really bothers him. Meanwhile, he's taken three or four tranquilizers, he's got all this Valium down his throat, so that he can put on an air of casualness, nothing bothers him, everything is okay. This is not real. But what is being taught in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the very antithesis of all of this. Krishna is saying here, or Prahlad Maharaj is saying here, that all this is material, it's useless. All you have is temporary pleasure, temporary happiness, which will end with death for sure, and it may even end before you even die. You're wealthy today, you have millions of dollars, the stock market crashes, you've got nothing. Many times people, they take dives off the tops of buildings simply because they can't bear the idea of being insignificant. One day everybody was looking up to me. Now today everyone doesn't even want to look at me. And they're living for that false prestige. That is what gives them the false sense of life. And this is what this book teaches us is, get away from all of that. That has no value. And it will make you miserable. Just a day or two ago, we read in the National Football League, one of the big players, he went
to his girlfriend's house. By the way, she has a child from him. He went to his girlfriend's house and just shot her. And then he went up to the team manager, and then he shot himself. And this year, four major players in the National Football League have committed suicide. What does that say about the value system of the people of this country? The value system is that if I'm somebody, if I'm great, if I'm being admired, I'm okay. But even if you're in that situation, something may occur. Something may occur that causes you to feel small or insignificant or worthless. For example, you have, I'm not saying this happened in this particular situation that I just mentioned, but let's just say you're a top star and you have a girlfriend or a wife and you found out that she's cheating on you, okay? So that can be a crusher. You're so big, you're so great, you're so wonderful. How could any woman ever think to do this to me? Me? No. Impossible. And yet it happens, and it's so shocking. It's so shocking that you either want to kill yourself because you find out that you're not what you thought you were, or you want to kill her for doing what she did. Why? Because you cannot take this sense of inferiority, this sense of smallness, this sense of insignificance, when you suddenly are plunged from this high position down to nothing. This is what is called illusion. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to teach us to, through the Krishna consciousness movement, to become completely free of. We are not the body. We are not all the acquirements of the body or the accomplishments of the body. We are none of those things. In fact, all those things come from the grace of Krishna, the grace of God. You don't become a major football player. You don't become an orator. You don't become a great musician or a Grammy winner. You have certain abilities and talents. And Krishna says, I am the ability in man and women. We had that problem yesterday, a few days ago. So I am the ability in man. And therefore, your ability is coming from me. But he gives us the illusion of thinking that it's coming by my endeavor, by my action, my effort. And therefore, it's by what I did is what makes me great. This is the unfortunate, incredible, disgusting mentality that people foist upon themselves through this disregard or ignoring of the true doer, the true cause, which is the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is teaching us here to get... If anything you do which is great, if you have beauty, if you have wealth, if you have strength, or power, or you have knowledge, or you have facility, all that comes by the mercy of Krishna. And if we don't give credit to Krishna, if we don't give kudos to him, if we don't glorify Krishna, if we don't thank Krishna, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction, and in that way you'll be freed from all suffering, from all bondage. So, all we have to do is surrender, as the purport says. Surrender to the Supreme Lord. My body, Krishna, belongs to you. My mind belongs to you. My intelligence belongs to you. I, the soul, belong to you. All the talents, my imagination, my creativity, I get that from you. Therefore, all credit goes to you and no one else. Therefore, when I am praised, when I am honored, when I am glorified, when I am applauded, although I may graciously bow my head, in my heart of hearts, I know and I realize and I proclaim, this is yours, Krishna, not mine. It belongs to you, and if I keep it, that's like poisoning myself. It's the poison of pride, which gets bigger and bigger and bigger and goes before the fall. And what is that fall? Just as what I talked about a few moments ago. The shock of finding out that we're not as great or glorious or wonderful or amazing as we may think we are. Because people say, oh, you're amazing, oh, you're wonderful, oh, you're so... And we eat it. We eat up the poison. So, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned so often, the credit goes to the one to whom it belongs. And that is, of course, Krishna. That is the spiritual master who represents Krishna and teaches us about Krishna, gives us guidance, gives us direction, gives us understanding, and gives us his love. And without that love, all the teachings don't mean anything. But with that love, pure love of God, then it as it's mentioned over here, you can have all of the different virtues, but the virtues don't mean anything unless they are backed by divine love. And these virtues are used in the loving service of Krishna. And if they are used in the loving service of Krishna, then they redound to our profit in the form of transcendental bliss, transcendental peace, transcendental love, transcendental strength, and fulfillment in everything, everywhere. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions or comments that anyone might like to make? Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, give the mic because our audience out in internet land has been complaining that they're not listening. Go ahead. Is it on in the back? It has to be on there too.
It's on. It has to be on there.
Could somebody come and help him so that? Yeah, I like to read it so that I have it in the context that you're referring to. That was in the verse itself, is that right? You were saying? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So let me just go over just exactly what you're referring to. Yeah, so it says religion, economic development, and sense gratification. These are described in the Vedas as Trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education, then it goes on to education, I see what you're saying, and self-realization. What Srila Prabhupada mentions is that these are means, you see. Now, self-realization means to realize who you really are, namely that you are a soul, you're connected to the Supreme Soul, you have a relationship with the Supreme Soul, and that your business is to serve the Supreme Soul. So this is means, and what is mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purport is that we have to go beyond just the means. It's not only the performing of the act, which is the means, but it's also the development of the love of Krishna, which we have to be focused on as our ultimate goal. In other words, whatever I'm doing, whether it's like yourself, you're pounding the drum, or whether you're worshiping the deity, or whether you're cooking for the deity, whatever you're doing, it has to be not merely done, which is means, you see, but it has to be done with love in our heart. Because if we don't come to that particular position that I am a soul and my business is to develop my love for Krishna to the extent that I cannot think of anyone or anything else except Krishna, we have to come to that platform, you see. So we may be self-realized in the sense that I know who I am, I'm doing what I have to do to to further purify myself. But if the love element is missing from the devotional service, then it doesn't reach its ultimate goal. You may reach Brahma Jyoti. You may reach that. Or you may even reach one of the Vaikuntha planets, which is no small matter. You may have the form of similar to the Lord, or you may be on the same planet of the Lord, etc. But again, Srila Prabhupada says, that is not the ultimate. The ultimate is to be so much in love with the Lord that you don't want to go for a moment without thinking of Him, without serving Him, without loving Him, without praising Him, without sharing Him. Especially for us, we're in the Krishna Conscious Movement. Our business is sharing Krishna. And that's a loving action because we want to introduce persons to the person, the Supreme Person, with whom we are in love, namely Krishna. And the more we introduce people to this beloved Krishna, who is ready to give his mercy and continues to give his mercy to us, as with a surrender to, as they surrender, I reward them accordingly, he says. So, in that sense, these may not reach their ultimate goal if the love element is missing. And that is why Srila Prabhupada says that loving devotional service, performing actions which are filled with love. So, how do you do that? Well, you can either serve and not have any feeling, but you're doing devotional service, but you don't have any feeling, you don't have any thought about it. Still, you get credit because it is in the realm of devotional service. It's done for Krishna. Then you can also do, you can serve with love in your heart. Now, when you serve with love in your heart, it may not be a continuous flow, but in your heart, you're thinking, this is for you. For example, you're on the altar. This is for you, Lord. This is my offering to you. I'm offering this whisk for you, or I'm offering this fan to cool you down, or I'm offering you this light. This is my offering of love to you. May you be pleased to accept this. I beg that you receive it, accept it. Or you're out distributing a book. Before you even putting the book in the person's hand, you're thinking, my dear Lord, this is for you. May he accept this book and profit by reading it and advancing through it. So this love element of wanting the very best, which is to want Krishna to be in the heart of each and every person with whom we have to deal. Or when you're cooking food, you're thinking, my dear Lord, please inspire me to cook it so that it will be so tasty for you that you will just gobble it up in one gulp. This is the idea of love. But if you simply cook, which is devotional service, if you're cooking here, or even cooking for the deities, but we're cheating ourselves out of a much greater degree of mercy that Krishna is ready to give us in the form of transcendental peace and bliss and joy and happiness. So that's the main point there. We have to go beyond the means. Don't stop at the means. And don't think that because you're in the means that you've achieved the goal. I hope that clears up. Anyone else have? Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.